This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, we're getting the Internet Archive of Canada. You can finally watch Netflix offline in some cases. Amazon Prime Video soft launched in Canada. And is the Bell MTS deal on the rocks? That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 97 for Sunday, December 4th, 2016, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Well, first of all, I want to say you've had a busy week, Derek. I've been sick. we should congratulate you, first off, on you being official.
Thank you. Yes, I was sworn in as a municipal councillor on Wednesday afternoon at around 4:05 p.m. It was pretty early.
That explains the crack of thunder I heard.
And the four horsemen appearing.
Yeah, something like that. No, I think they're scheduled to appear in January with the inauguration in Washington.
Sorry, that was just a peek. No. They just kind of looked around the clouds and they're like, oh, not yet.
Not yet. But that'll be good. So we're hobnobbing with greatness, kids. Just remember that from now on.
No. Not even close.
I'm sure there's a more than enough people. If your head starts to swell, we'll put you in your place.
Please do. and this will help. So I went to Breakfast to Santa this morning, which is a big thing in Kamoka every year.
Yes, it is.
And out of everyone there, I think three people knew and recognized me and knew that I had been appointed a counselor. It's certainly not. I don't even know how many people knew who the counselor was beforehand. So the fact that they don't know that it's me now, not a surprise.
Well, I got another story then for you, because they definitely have to improve the news coverage, because my mother, who lives in your ward, I believe.
Yes.
She didn't know until I told her this morning. Yeah. She was very pleased to hear, and she said to pass along her congratulations. So there you go.
Thank you very much.
So you have one fan, definitely.
There we go. I've got a few
outside
fans.
Outside your family.
I've got a few fans. Lots of people who supported me in the last election were very excited for me to win, and it seems like pretty much everyone was ready for a change in leadership. So, or almost everybody, at least. And it's gone over well. We just need to make sure more people know.
Exactly. Well, we'll spread the word as far and wide as we can. So, okay, let's get right to it then. First off is our good friends at the Internet Archive. Now, the Internet Archive has a lot of cool things. They have the Wayback Machine, which is a way for you to find all those embarrassing websites you wrote like 10, 15 years ago. Like, I've still got a copy. You can actually search for, one of my old domain names, and you'll find a copy from 2001 there.
Nice.
So there's that. But they also do an awful lot of other things. They provide repositories. So, in this digital age, we've got so much data now, images, pictures, whatever, and it's terrible when they become lost. So with the technology now, the Internet Archive's, trying to basically help like this. It's a nonprofit library. It's built on trust. Mm-hmm. Its mission is to give everyone access to all knowledge forever for free. They only have 150 staff, but they run one of the top 250 websites in the world. Now, part of the thing they've wanted to do is right now, most of the archives are hosted in the U.S. And they've been looking at trying to get some additional backups because, more data is good, more copies. I'm the backup guy, and that's what I say. But especially with recent developments down in the U.S. and several comments from the president-elect, they've decided to kind of kickstart this and fast-track this. They want to get an archive, a complete copy here in lovely Canada. So they're basically starting a fundraising campaign. And they're basically going to call it the Internet Archive of Canada. Already quite a few Canadian universities are already very much involved with this. In fact, I was saying pre-show, I had a look at some of the Canadian libraries these days, and especially, let's say, the University of Toronto. They've got quite a few, their rare book library. They've got so many titles now digitized. And again, there's no membership required. You just go in and you can see some of these books that have been scanned. So I know other places are looking at it. I know us at the London Public Library, we're starting to look at that. We're fundraising to make this sort of data available. But yeah, it is interesting that part of the reason is because they're worried about what a new government's going to bring in. And it's kind of scary. This isn't like an Eastern Bloc country. This is the U.S. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think this is fantastic. It's a great idea to have geo-redundant backups of the Internet Archive. A lot of people might not know that they also run the Open Library, which makes millions of ebooks available for free. They have a political TV ad archive as well. And, of course, the Wayback Machine, as you mentioned, which is really, really solid. I really enjoy using the Wayback Machine to check old versions of my stuff, old versions of other websites. We were looking at Olio's old website from even just a year or two ago when it was still in its infancy and still being built piece by piece. And it was really interesting to see the choices Brendan had made at the time and, you know, what he put up first and that sort of thing. And so it's a really terrific thing. It doesn't scan every website every day. Thank goodness. They would need a staff of triple their size in order to maintain all that. But it does provide a really, really great service. And I, for one, am going to donate to the campaign because I feel really strongly about it and that it should exist.
Yeah, and I'm going to be doing that as well once the Christmas season hits. I always try and reserve a little bit of my charity budget for stuff like this. So, yeah, I think actually, this is an excellent thing.
Clever Host always donates a little bit of money around this time of year, so I think this year it'll go to the Internet Archive.
Awesome. As a Clever Host customer, I'm very happy about that. So there we go. Okay, moving on. Do you remember that? You remember, like, before Apple got into smartwatches, there was this little company called Pebble.
It was founded by a Canadian guy who went to the University of Waterloo.
Yeah, and they were doing really, really well. In fact, you know, for a while in 2015, Citizen Watch reportedly offered to buy them for $740 million, and they said no. Mm-hmm. And then they ran into some trouble, and Intel offered to buy them for $70 million if they would agree to hold off launching two other watches in a Kickstarter campaign. And the company refused that offer, too, even though some key executives threatened to leave. Well, apparently now Fitbit is reportedly actually is going to buy them, and they're going to buy them for $34 to $40 million. And you can just imagine some people out there who had early stage stock and all that are going, don't. Pebble, you know, since Apple and a few other smartwatch makers, we don't really hear much about them now, do we?
I hear about them when they do Kickstarter campaigns, and yeah. I initially had a Pebble 2 reserved, and I needed that money for other things, unfortunately, so I had to cancel it. So I'm not unfortunately a Pebble customer, because I really wanted to be, and I was still thinking about buying one soon. I've now got a little extra money coming in thanks to being a counselor. So I thought, hey, I've got a few other things I want to do around the house first. But, you know, in a couple months, I'll have some money and I'll buy myself a smartwatch of some kind. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to be a Pebble because, they're not doing very well. And frankly, I'm a bit concerned that it's Fitbit of all companies is buying them, because Fitbit, as people may know, is embroiled in a number of class action lawsuits over the accuracy of things like their step counter. Something I encountered quite a while ago when we had bought one for my wife, and we just discovered that it was just terrible. And we have some friends who as well have returned their Fitbits for the same reason after weeks and months of trying to troubleshoot with Fitbit directly and trying to legitimately come to some sort of resolution on fixing these issues. So I'm concerned that it's Fitbit, Citizen is a long-standing company. It's probably over 100 years old, has the money, offered a ton of money. The fact that they turned down $740 million reportedly in 2015 is mind-boggling. Like, I don't know. We don't know the terms, obviously. We don't even know if it's true. If it is true, if the terms were decent, wow. How stupid are you?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, we'll see. I don't know. I still really like the hardware. I'd like to have one, but this is certainly giving me pause over over where to
put my money. It's funny because I'm not like a fitness guy. You know, if anyone sees me knows that. but no, I hadn't really been interested in a lot of smartwatches. You know, I saw Apple's and nothing really caught me. But, I was looking now because we have for our Christmas party, we've got up and we bought one. My coworker, Kathy, found a good one by Fossil out on Best Buy. And again, looking at some of those now, they're awfully nice. They look like regular watches.
Yeah.
Now, so the market's certainly there. And I just wonder if they just didn't keep up or they were, a little bit going into too much of a niche market. And they didn't have product that worked.
Potentially. You know, Fossil makes some really nice ones. And I'm trying to think of the company name. Is it Y Things? I think it might be Y Things. They make some watches that just happen to be smartwatches. I think Nokia bought them earlier this year or last year, and they've continued on, as far as I know, doing their thing. And they make some really nice hardware that you can actually, show off.
That's what I've been seeing.
Yeah, it just happens to also track your steps and maybe your sleep cycle and maybe your your heartbeat. If you're not, depending on the method, that it should be accurate unless you're an African American or maybe Middle Eastern because you have your skin's too dark to literally use the light sensor. Yeah, they weren't thinking that one through.
But like I said, I like the technology. I love the technology's going. The technology, just these Fossil ones we're looking at, it works with both Android and iPhones. I like the idea you have the choice of some really nice looking, make it look like a traditional watch face, stuff like that. So, it's something that down the road I'd certainly look at now. It's, again, just something I hadn't really looked into. I've had, I'm one of these people that I had one watch for like probably 30 years. And this one I've had for 10 and it does the job. But, some of these are awfully nice. So who knows? Maybe in future I'll be reviewing a smartwatch that I pick up. So,
If anyone listening to this, works at Fossil or Y Things or Citizen or Garmin and wants to send us one to review, we would be happy to do so.
Exactly. So, alrighty, let's move on to some video stuff. Netflix, they finally added offline mode. As one article in the next web says, binging on the go now. So the idea is you can download to your mobile device. It's not on the desktop yet, strictly the mobile devices, certain shows. Now, not every show, so a lot of it right now is just their own productions. Nothing wrong with that. There is quite a few there, and you have a choice between standard or high quality. Now, I haven't tried to download one yet. I'll try that now that I have the new iPhone, just to see how big it is. But this is a great idea. Really handy if, like I take the bus to work in the morning, it'd be kind of nice sometimes if I've caught up my podcast and I want to watch a little bit of video like that. I don't have to burn up my data plan.
This is fantastic. There is so much Netflix original content now that this is perfectly legitimate for now. Hopefully they can secure the rights to more. To let you download more stuff and watch it offline, but in the meantime, this is a great way to at least kill time on the bus, on the train, in a plane.
Just don't if you're driving.
No, only for the kids in the back.
Only for the kids in the back. Yeah. Don't be doing it. Don't be binge watching The Crown or something while you're going down on the 401 at 120.
Right.
That is not a good idea.
Please don't be like that. allegedly that guy who crashed his Tesla and had Harry Potter playing. We don't want you to be that person, okay?
Don't be that guy. Exactly. So yeah, this is a good idea. And again, I think they're kind of realizing with what customer demand is, you know, sometimes people want to be able to watch, you know, watch it when they're away, and they realize that not everyone has a big data plan. I have former coworkers that have accidentally turned off the Wi-Fi on their phone and let their kids watch a movie you know, which is their data plan. And I was the phone, well, again, not naming names, and people can guess themselves. I was the phone administrator, and then of course it's a shared plan, and all of a sudden you get this email saying, oh, you've used up all your, you know, gigs and gigs. Mm-hmm. You run the report, you go back in, you go, oh.
Yeah, a movie at 720p or 1080p, I think, uses 2 or 3 gigabytes. So, that can burn through the typical data plan quite quickly.
Pretty damn quick, exactly. So that was kind of funny. All right. Also to do with video streaming, Netflix competitor, Amazon Prime. This story was broken last week. Apparently, it was going to launch in Canada on Thursday. So if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can have this video streaming, very similar service to Netflix, but with a lot of different content. Now, we did hear it didn't officially, quote unquote, right, launch on Thursday.
It's a soft launch, I would say.
It's a soft launch. Now, you are the Amazon guy, so I'm going to let you describe what you can do now.
If you already have an Amazon Prime subscription, which is $79 per year in Canada, $79 Canadian, I should clarify that. Typically, it gets you things like free 2-day shipping. I should have kept that tab up. Hang on a second. CA/Prime. Okay.
Everyone loves the free shipping.
Yes, free 2-day shipping. Shipping.
Shrimping?
Shrimping. Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. Okay. Twitch Prime. Which is Twitch, if you don't know, is a very popular video game streaming service, primarily video games. Free unlimited photo storage in Amazon Cloud Drive. Lightning deals, early access to sales on Amazon.ca 30 minutes before other customers can access these deals. Watch out!
And sometimes that can make all the difference.
Yeah, I guess so. Things like Amazon Family, which gets you 20% off diapers and a bunch of other things. And if you're a student, you get free or unlimited free 2-day shipping for 6 months. Oh, it's free to join if you're a student. Oh, that's cool. Okay. Well, anyway, so all that. And what people have just recently realized is that if you are a Canadian Amazon Prime subscriber, you can now go to amazon.com/prime-video, capital P on Prime, capital V on video. These are Linux-based, that matters. Linux-based servers, case matters. You can get to all the stuff that's called that Amazon categorizes as TV to watch while abroad, which 99% of it is Amazon original stuff. But that's a lot of cool stuff because they have cool programs like The Man in the High Castle, which I believe is based on a Stephen King novel or set of novels.
No, it was based on another author whose name just went right out of my head.
So, it is on a book, though.
It's based on, it's not exactly the thing. I've actually watched it. It's very good.
A surprising amount of children's programming, things like The Stinky and Dirty Show and Wish and Poof. And Just Add Magic, and If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, and stuff like that. But there are some other original shows like Zed, The Beginning of Everything with Christina Ricci, Lost in Oz Season 1, that's a cartoon, stuff from the New Yorker magazine, Heiston, anyway, a bunch of stuff.
I may have to subscribe just to find out what happens when a mouse is given a cookie. I assume he eats it, but... Obviously, they've made a TV series of it.
No, spoiler alert, he poops all over it and then tries to get a human to eat it.
Damn it.
I know. Anyway, so there's 18 different shows right now you can access. But for $79 Canadian, chances are that price is going to go up when this does officially launch, because if they can get more rights to more stuff, you know, and to stream in Canada, no doubt that's going to go up. For now, it's $79 US. If you buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, that's worth it for the free 2-day shipping if you really want your stuff quick. And in the meantime, you can do a 30-day free trial, watch everything, binge on it, and then cancel it if you really want to, and then wait for the official launch. So do a free soft launch. You know, I wouldn't look down upon anyone who did that.
Nope. But again, it's, you know, again, more choice, more services. We keep talking about people cutting cable.
Yeah, Shomi's gone, but we've got Crave, and Crave seems to be doing well. And it's kind of funny that it was actually Bell Media President Mary Ann Turk who on Tuesday said, a new global OTT competitor, Amazon Prime, is entering the Canadian market in 2 days. Whoa, way to steal their thunder. Like, testifying in front of the CRTC.
Yes.
Which is kind of funny. Although Jeremy Clarkson did actually drop the bomb on November 16th, really taking away their thunder. But it is still very much a soft launch. There's only 18 different programs. Like I said, lots of kids stuff, which is kind of amazing.
Exactly. It's a good start, definitely. So, no, we look forward to seeing what's happening there. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're going to actually pause for a word from our sponsor. So, and we appreciate their support. And here we go.
Hi, folks. Derek breaking in here with an ad for our sponsor, Olio Digital Labs. Do you have an idea for a mobile app, a problem that needs solving, or disparate pieces of software that need to speak to each other? The team at Olio Digital Labs is here to help. Olio are the planners, designers, and builders behind the solutions used by some of Canada's biggest brands, and they can also help you. Olio offers custom mobile and web applications, websites, and platforms. To find out how Olio can help you, call 226-785-0420, email derek@oliodigitallabs.com, or visit oliodigitallabs.com to learn more about the company and its services. And now, back to the show.
Okay, we're back. Thank you again to Olio Digital Labs for all their support for the Canadian Tech Podcast. So next one, this is yours. This is this sounds rather interesting. Millimeter waves. It's not going to fry my brain, is it?
No, thankfully not.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to try and do a little bit of context here without doing too much. So a little while ago, in the last few years, a lot of companies have been pitching using 60 gigahertz frequency for doing really short range wireless video within the home. So your set-top box to your TV, or maybe your phone to your TV, you know, doing like a little personal area network like Bluetooth does, but really short range, because 60 gigahertz, the waves are incredibly tight. And therefore they don't go very far. They don't go through walls. They don't go far. It's really terrible for a Wi-Fi network, unless you're in the same room, because then you can actually broadcast gigabits and gigabits per second over those 60 gigahertz. Just not very far.
Okay.
On the other hand, we have Wi-Fi, which is like 2.4 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz. We used to have cordless phones on 900 megahertz, which is all unlicensed spectrum. That's where your microwave works at 2.4 gigahertz, which is why it can mess up your Wi-Fi network. In between there are frequencies like 33 gigahertz, 34 gigahertz. And that's where a company called Starry, Starry, thinks that they can achieve a nice middle ground. Wi-Fi, if you actually broadcast it directly, you can go kilometers. It's actually really impressive. But millimeter waves, which is what we're referring to here, around the 34 gigahertz range, if you do that same sort of thing, you can get about a kilometer, maybe two, depending on what's in the way and whether you have line of sight or not, and broadcast or achieve a bandwidth of about a gigabit per second. So Starry is the founder is the same guy who started Aereo down in the U.S. a few years ago. They wanted to, they're putting dime-sized antennas in warehouses and using that to pick up TV signals. And then they'd beam the TV signal to your internet connection and you'd pick it up there. Unfortunately, they got defeated in court. It was ruled to be a huge copyright infringement. Shouldn't have been, in my opinion, but regardless, that's what happened. So Chet Kanogia starting over with Starry. And so what you have is something we've seen here before. Look Internet did something like this, where they would have an antenna on your house or outside your house, or even better, on an apartment building, and then send the internet connection there. And then from that antenna, you bring it inside the house or inside the apartment building. So we're trying that again, but better technology, better speeds, cheaper now than it was back then. And so Starry's been running a beta in Boston all year, actually. And right now they're getting real world connection speeds of between 200 and 300 megabits per second, which is great. They think they can set up a neighborhood for about $25 per house. If you contrast that, $25 US, if you contrast that to fiber, that's about $2,500 US to run fiber directly to a home. So far less expensive to bring really good speeds to a home. Oh, sorry. They're actually testing at 38.2 and 38.6 gigahertz, with future plans to broadcast at 37 and 40 gigahertz. Regardless, it seems to be working. They've been, like I said, they've been beta testing for a year now. They still have an antenna outside your house. It's called a Starry Point. The broadcast antenna is called the Starry Beam. So beam to a point. Haha, very clever. And it seems to be working really well. So they can cover at least... they estimate that they can build out a wireless network that costs only $25 for every home it serves in areas with a population density of at least 1,500 homes per square mile. So you're looking at about 1,000 houses per square kilometer. That's actually pretty much, you know, any urban area, or even suburban area.
And you can see why they're doing it in Boston, Cambridge, and Quincy, because, they're pretty high-dense areas. I've been there before. I was actually just looking at their website. You know, even their hardware is pretty nice-looking. Their Wi-Fi station's gorgeous.
Yes,
it's very Mac-ish, and it's a little pyramid. It's got a touch screen. So, this is, again, anything that can bring the cost down, make it easier and more convenient for people to use, is a winner in my book.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you compare $2,500 a house to run fiber direct, which is something like what Verizon... Fios was doing for a long time down in the Northeast. Starry figures that they can do 20 to 30 sites for all of Boston, three or four beams, so broadcast antennas at each site, and they'll be covered. And they think they can actually scale up the speed. So this is something that could really change how internet's delivered in urban and suburban areas. Hopefully, eventually, you know, you could bring it out further to more rural areas as the cost comes down. So we'll have to see what sort of progress they make in the U.S. And if a company wants to do it here in Canada, I would be very much behind it.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a good thing. So, alrighty, moving on. More than a few months ago now, we talked about Bell buying MTS in Manitoba. And one of the big concerns was that because they were taking out the fourth player, it was a good possibility prices were going up. Because if you've ever, you know, if you've ever been curious, go to Rogers or Bell and say your province is in Manitoba instead of Ontario, you will find across the big three that Manitoba, they pay on average $10 to $15 less for their plants. That's because there's a fourth player. Yeah, there's a fourth player, MTS. However, the Competition Bureau, which normally these sort of things go in and it's like within a month they approve it, it's like 6 months now and they haven't. And apparently they've also obtained order. They're really investigating this whole thing, in fact, to the point that even companies not directly involved are having to turn over information. So the Competition Bureau According to this Global Mail story, obtained orders from the court in August, forcing both Rogers and TELUS to provide more than 3 years of information on details such as new wireless customers, prices, revenue and expenses, network quality, and transfers of phone numbers to new and accounts, first in Manitoba, and then now in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Ontario. So, they're saying it needs the additional in data to determine whether the merger will lessen or prevent competition substantially. This is interesting. The Competition Bureau maybe is finally taking things seriously. What do you think?
I think this is fantastic. I think it's absolutely the level of scrutiny needed for a deal like this. And I'm hoping I'm actually hoping they turn it down. They say, nope, sorry, MTS needs to keep going. Because, like you said, it's going to remove a fourth player. It is very clear, very quickly, that folks in Manitoba pay less at least partially because there's a fourth competitor that can actually cover the whole province, right? If Freedom covered the whole province, the whole province of Ontario with a good wireless network, we'd absolutely see even better prices. Because they are cheaper than, or on an everyday basis, than Koodo and Virgin and Fido, the other discount brand I'm thinking of, and it's very clear why. So I'm really hoping Competition Bureau says no or ties so many strings to this that Bell just says, oh, forget it, we're done.
I think it's a good thing. We need to see this competition and scrutiny continue. So good for them, and we'll see what happens. Apparently, MTS had originally expected this deal to come through late this year, early 2017. It stated that the outside date to close the transaction is May 1st, but that could be extended by the parties up until October 28th next year. So again, it's not over yet, but we'll see what happens. Okay, next one. Moving on, some more frequency spectrum. What is VO Wi-Fi, or is it VO Wi-Fi, or
VO Wi-Fi
something? And is it VO Wi-Fi? And is it the key to Freedom's mobile future? I turn it over to you, sir.
So, anybody who didn't hear, I don't think we covered this on the show. Wind Mobile recently rebranded as Freedom Mobile after their acquisition by Shaw. No real surprise. They don't need to. Well, actually, their licensing deal for the Wind Mobile name is still on for like another 7 years. But regardless, now they don't have to think about whether to renew that license or not. They're free and clear, and they're not going to keep using it, obviously. Wind Mobile customers know that the coverage area isn't great. Really big cities in Ontario are covered. A lot of the smaller ones aren't, like Sarnia, and I don't think Windsor. Certainly any place lower than 30,000 people isn't. St. Thomas only got coverage a little while ago. Woodstock, bits and pieces near the 401. And then Northern Ontario, you're screwed.
I even found when I was looking for another provider for my mom, and she's just west Kamoka. They were kind of in the variable. They're in the variable area. Kamoka is actually.
Yeah, it is. I'm okay here at home, but if I go into the basement, or if I walk around a certain part of Kilworth, or like while I'm going for a run, I lose the connection, and I don't want to roam anymore. So anyway, in the meantime, while Freedom Mobile builds out their LTE network over the next year, it's going to be about a year before Southwestern Ontario gets to benefit from that, they're still going to have this big problem of coverage in general. And so part of that could potentially be voice over Wi-Fi. It's not a new technology. Rogers One Number has been doing this for a while. A bunch of carriers in the U.S. and in Europe do this as well, where you have an app where you make your phone calls instead of necessarily using the normal phone dialer. Or on Android, you can actually set this up really easily so that it uses a SIP connection, which is basically an internet-based phone line instead of the normal one when you're using the normal dialer. So Folks are thinking that Freedom Mobile could head in this direction. Shaw's purchase of Freedom gives them an access to 80,000 public Wi-Fi hotspots across the country, mostly in Western Canada and Northern Ontario. But those are exactly the places where they have the least coverage, except for out east, I imagine. And voice over LTE gives them putting those two together gives you a better handoff between for the phone calls. So if you're on LTE, but you get to a cafe that has a really good Wi-Fi connection, you could switch over to the Wi-Fi and the call would keep going.
Right.
And then if you leave the cafe, you start walking around again, downtown London or Toronto, then it would pick up the LTE again. Again, in theory, the phone call keeps going and you just switch over to your data connection instead of GSM. So, this is mostly speculation, but some really good speculation on Mobile Syrup's part. And so I thought it was worth reading and talking about. This wouldn't surprise me if Freedom went in this direction, but I'm going to be gone by the time they get around to this, because I'm just not waiting anymore. I'm switching to public mobile within the next month or two.
Right, right. No, as I said, yeah, but I think it'll be a good thing because, again, eventually it'll give people some more choices.
Yeah.
From the traditional ones. So I think that's, you know, it's a good thing. Good thing to see. Okay, moving on to stuff we like. So I'm going to start first, and I'm, you know, it's part of my, what am I up to lately? My iPhone 7 Plus thankfully arrived. Thank goodness, I've been setting it up, and it's been very good so far. One of the things I decided to do was I started completely fresh, so I didn't do an import or anything, and started looking again at apps and see what other things I wanted to do. So one of the first ones I looked at was an email app, and I've been reading some stuff for a while about Outlook for iOS on how good it is. And so it's free. I tried it, and I got to tell you, it is now on Prime Real Estate on my lower bar. I'm using it instead of the traditional Apple email app. What I love about it is you've got, you know, it figures out what your important emails are. It's got your traditional very quick and easy to archive or delete a folder. Finally, from Outlook, multi-inbox views. So from, I have two accounts there and they're all on the same page. The other thing I like is it integrates beautifully with my Google Calendar and also cloud services. So OneDrive, Google Drive, Dropbox, Outlook, you know, like all the different services. So I actually, because, you know, I have three different storage services that I'm eventually going to put down to one. But right now, from the same app, I can get to my calendar. I can view documents that are in Dropbox or OneDrive, all from the one place without switching back and forth. So I'm very impressed. It happily imported my Gmail's contact list. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all in all, you know, definitely worth a try. I do hear that it seems to be a bit more feature packed for iOS users than Android users. I know you mentioned you've played with it a bit and you went with something else in the end, but definitely worth a try if you're looking for a brand new email client. What have you got?
I've got the Pinebook. So fans of little computing devices like the Raspberry Pi may know about the Pine 64, very, very similar, even cheaper than the Raspberry Pi. But it's newer, so it doesn't quite have the same level of community as the Raspberry Pi and Arduino do. However, Pine is just moving forward with a bunch of really cool things, one of them being the Pinebook, which is a extremely affordable open source notebook computer, laptop computer. It comes in two flavors, 11.6 inch LCD or 14 inch LCD. Otherwise, everything else is the same. Actually, almost everything else is the same. The touchpads are slightly different sizes, of course, because smaller screen, smaller computer, smaller touchpad. But regardless, so inside this thing, you've got a quad-core ARM Cortex processor. It's the A53. That's running at, I think it's a little over a gigahertz, one gigahertz per core. 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of eMMC storage on board, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 4.0, a couple USB ports, micro SD, mini HDMI, a headphone jack, a microphone. I think there's a a webcam.
How much would one expect to pay for this?
You might think that you should be paying $300 or $400, but I've got a great deal for you. If you order whenever you feel like it, the 11.6-inch version is only $90 US, and the 14-inch is only $100 US. For $130, you could have a 14-inch LCD laptop that runs Linux really, really well. And
for someone just doing web surfing and what they need, more than enough.
So if you wanted to do something like Chrome OS, there's a there's a link. They mention it on the webpage somewhere, but there's it's called Remix OS. Some other folks have taken Chrome OS, remixed it a little bit, and put it out so that anybody can use it on almost any device. That works on here. Ubuntu, Linux Mint, Fedora, no doubt, should work on here. Anything that works on the ARM architecture, as opposed to Intel or AMD's x86 architecture, should work on this laptop. And they do make some recommendations, but for $100, for a kid who's going to school and just needs to get online and do some research, you know, write in Google Docs or something like that, or Microsoft Word on, Microsoft Word Online, that sort of thing. You could run Skype on the web now. We talked about that a little while ago. This is now a fully functioning computer. You're probably going to have to rely on cloud-based storage because there's only 16 gigabytes on board. But that's enough. That's enough to get started and you know, maybe give an impoverished child a computing device. Like, this was... We're at that one laptop per child dream where, like, it was a really inexpensive laptop that almost anybody can afford. The cheaper one's $90. Like, it's we're there. I know $100 US is still a lot for a lot of people, but when you compare it to $200, $300, $400, $1,500 for a decent MacBook or something like that, this is peanuts compared to anything like that. So,
I look at what we were saying pre-show. Again, you can run Ubuntu. You've got the Cinnamon desktop. You know, most people wouldn't even know it's not a Windows box.
Nope. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
Here, I found it. So 4.1-inch trackpad on the smaller one, 5-inch trackpad on the bigger one. That's probably about the same size as what I've got on my MacBook right now, my MacBook Pro. Yep. And so they're taking pre-orders, they're taking interest. So you know what? I'm going to go ahead and write 14-inch. Derek, there we go. Autocomplete. I'm not a robot. Submit, because I want to know when this thing's on sale so that the sales team can contact me, because I want one. I think this is fantastic.
Perfect. Okay, now moving on to our what we are up to lately. I'm pleased to report the cold is not completely gone, but it's slowly but surely getting out of it. And I've got a new hashtag. I hate being sick. This is so true. I'm just, you know, it's one of the, a lot of people have it. So not a lot has happened this week. It's a lot of been work and home, and we've been planning for our Christmas party, IS Christmas party at London Life. So we were out doing some shopping on company time even, which was nice, on Monday. Costco, Best Buy, looking at all sorts of goodies. Where I saw that Fossil watch. That was nice. The other thing is, as I said, my iPhone 7 Plus arrived, which is kind of ironic because originally everything was pointing to my wife's arriving first. So it hasn't arrived first. So I've been getting the sad face. I'm surprised I haven't lost the device yet. Very impressed with it. I got to get a case for it still, but I'm really blown away by the speed, is what they talk about, just on how quick things come up, how quick things run. As I said, I've been trying some new apps I haven't used in a while, or ones I haven't used before, just to put it through its paces. I am back on Rogers. Never was a big fan, but they've corporate, we got a good plan. So we'll see how they do. And I have to admit, the first interaction when I went to port the number over was excellent. And I also had to change one minor correction with my name, but the customer service was very good there. So
that's not the iPhone's fault.
I know. I'll give them a chance. Nope. Some good apps so far. As I say, I've been playing with some of the newer stuff. So it probably means people are going to be seeing a lot more photos from me because the camera is just fantastic.
Right. Yeah. You've got the dual lens.
I got the dual lens. I actually posted to my Instagram for the first time in probably 3 years.
Whoa! Did you post a selfie?
No, God, no. I don't want to scare people. There'll be a lot of cat photos, okay. Basically coming. But no, really impressed.
Have I want cat photos.
I know. I want to get a case for it because, as I said, before I really start taking it out and shooting with it, because yeah, it is very slippery in the hand. I just got the regular black model. My wife's getting the Rolls Gold 32 gig. It used about 6 gig when it was like just straight out of the box. For available space, so just keep that in mind. But wow. Yeah, with me, I tend to, like, especially with photos and videos, I tend to take them off pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I use like Google Photos and that, and automatically take them off the device. But yeah, the other thing I really note, the speakers are really loud now. You can really, it was funny today. I had to go out and do some shopping, so I normally listen to podcasts, and again, this is one of the things it comes with the Lightning to audio port adapter, which I forgot to bring with me when I wanted to plug it into my car system, so I just let it play on the speakers, some podcasts, and it was actually fine. I was actually pretty impressed about that. The little adapter cable, it is tiny. I can see that getting lost if we're not careful. So. But no, other than that, really pleased. Starting to show up in stores again, apparently. So Apple's definitely getting some stock back in. So yeah, definitely one to look at. Like I said, I love the larger size screen now. I won't say that's because it's an age thing or something, because we all know they're making the pill bottle. The writing on the pill bottle smaller. But no. There's my little thing on the iPhone. As I get some more apps, I'll probably have some more stuff for Stuff We Like coming up. So there cool. we go. And what about you? I know you were, you had this whole counselor thing.
I did.
You
I
were
was
kind of busy.
I was sworn in on counselor on Wednesday, so I actually got to sit down right away and participate in my first meeting. So I got to vote and ask questions, and that was
awesome.
A lot of fun. Yeah. I've had a lot of phone calls and meetings already, and some meetings coming up this week on some, at least somewhat important items.
Good.
Another council meeting on Wednesday, and then another one the Wednesday after that. They're packing them in before the Christmas and New Year break.
How often do they normally have them?
Every other week.
Oh, really? Okay. That's really frequent. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Well, lots of items. Well,
lots of stuff happening in the county.
Yeah, but I mean, the first one only lasted like an hour and 15, an hour and 20 minutes, and that was right. Way longer than it could have been if the mayor had not allowed for some very important but out of turn public participation. It wasn't a public meeting. Regardless, we got a lot of good feedback and some valid questions that needed to be dealt with. So
there you go.
Yeah,
there
it probably go. Would have been under an hour otherwise.
All right.
I also signed. All right. So otherwise, Christmas stuff. The house is decorated. We've been doing some shopping as well. And I signed up for the Google Play Music 4-month trial, which was awesome.
Yeah,
I was like, free 4 months. It's fantastic. That
That's
was a right. Black Friday, Cyber Monday thing happening. I got myself signed up. I got my wife signed up on her account. Both of us are really enjoying it. She runs a few times a week. I do as well, but I go to the gym. She goes out to an arena and runs around the rink there with some of her Dragon Boat teammates. And yeah, we're both really, really enjoying it. So come March,
good.
We are absolutely going to sign up for the family plan. And that'll be the first time I've actually signed up and paid for a streaming service. I've tried them all out. I was going to pay for RDO, and then they shut down and got bought out by Pandora.
Yeah.
So and that was only $5 a month there. But for 17 Canadian, I think it is, for the two of us and then three other people, I think it's eight now. Eight individuals can share a family plan.
Holy cow. Wow.
Maybe I'll let you in on that action if you want
to
go play music.
That's like a huge amount. I always used to think like Office 365 allows for five devices, and I thought that's huge. But yeah. 8 people, wow.
I think it's 8. A coworker of mine, Google Play Music, family plan. Coworker of mine already has 8 signed or 5 signed up, and he said that he was pretty sure they had upped it to 8.
Now, is that devices or accounts?
Sorry, 6 family members can stream millions of songs for blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that's okay. So in like, but like, so you. So you have Derek Silva, Kathleen Rebeck, and then you could have like Stuart Clark signs into the same family plan. It's not the same account. You don't share the account. You share
right.
the plan.
So it's actually a separate thing. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess it's a little bit like I say, with Office 365, each person can get a terabyte of space on Live Drive. So, yes. You know, why not?
Yeah,
I have it. My wife has it.
Yeah, I was right about it is $16.99 Canadian. So that's really, really good.
That's
so
not
I could
bad.
Put
that's
I,
not bad
we,
at all.
I could give the kids their own account, which yep. I think my oldest I think I signed him up for a Google or a Gmail account with
okay.
his name.
Well, there you go.
So I could, you know, give it to him, and then him and his little brother could listen to
or,
you know, whatever
or,
music
or,
they
or,
want.
Or you could give it to your wonderful parents.
I could, but then I'd have to teach them how to use Google Play.
I know, that's the thing. Well, you know, but they're your parents.
I know,
I will.
Don't
make you feel guilty otherwise.
I do tech
yeah,
support
better.
For them all the time, and they've earned it. They've earned the free tech
so
support.
There you go. Yeah, they had you as a kid, so, you know.
Right, exactly.
That's
that.
What I hear from my mother.
Yeah.
That's, I get the same thing, so don't worry about that. So there you go. There you go. So.
So,
see,
yeah.
See, I'm getting good. I'm getting good at being a Portuguese mother. I'm guilting
yeah.
you.
They're very good at that.
No, that's awesome, though. That's an awesome plan. Cool. Okay, good.
So up to 6. So
good
yeah,
stuff.
6 individuals who, you know, 4 of them don't need to be related to me. They can all share the same plan.
There you go. There you go. That's pretty awesome. Okay. I guess we're done then.
I think so.
I think so, yeah. And apparently we might get a chance of snow tonight, but, you know, more like in the Toronto area. Well, probably more likely in Toronto, so you should be fine for now. But
good.
It'd be nice to get a white Christmas.
No. I was watching...
No, December 25th, and then it melts.
Fine, I'll take that. Kathleen was watching a Christmas movie on Netflix that was based in LA, and I was like, yes, that's the Christmas that I want. I got to wear fall clothing, you know, long sleeve shirts and pants, but otherwise,
okay, we all
palm
know.
Trees, sun.
Yes, but we all know the ideal Christmas movie in LA is Die Hard, so.
Well, yeah, so I got to watch that and then Love Actually.
No, Love Actually. No, I got to watch Die Hard. I got to watch, and I got to watch the original 1955 Christmas Carol with Alistair Sims.
Oh gosh,
one in black and white. Yeah, no, that's a good one. That was good. You know, when you were a kid, he scared the heck out of you. So,
are there any?
No,
are there
good.
Any really good Scottish Christmas movies, like with a real solid Scottish accents? Because that's what I'm craving.
Good
right
Scottish.
Now.
I know. I'm gonna have to think about that. We may have to check with some of our other Scottish friends
okay.
for something more recent. Because you know, most of the time, by the time that happens on Christmas Day, we're already half pissed anyway, so we don't really care. You know. So
fair
no,
on,
now what are the other
on
ones?
Scotch,
well, you know,
of
like
course.
Yeah, my wife has a whole bunch of them, but like, yeah, so like we'll end up watching, you know, the Grinch and you know all that other classic stuff.
Sure,
so
sure.
Yeah,
but those don't
now
have Scottish
good time
accents.
Of year. No, but you know we should see if we can. I'm sure someone could act that. You know, have someone cover the Grinch. Who, so then there was Cindy Lou Who, she was no more than 2, or something like that. You know.
Top
something
10.
Was,
oh,
something
here
like
we
that.
Go. Top 10 movies set in Scotland. All right, I'll look at these offline.
Yeah, look at those. I don't think you'll look up Christmas movies because you know we were usually seeing the English off the border by that point.
Yeah, no. There's a list of British Christmas movies, but no doubt those
God,
would be almost
yeah.
all English accents.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, we should probably wrap this up. I think we've lost
yeah, we
everyone.
Should probably before we completely bore everyone. So, all right, we'll talk to everyone next week. It's so for the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 97 for December the 4th, 2016. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is, yep, still Derek Silva.
Thank you and be well.